It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I feel like this ought to be every single Royals walk-up song the next time Cleveland comes to town. Gangster's Paradise, man.
Oh, I thought it was Amish Paradise. My bad.
Could be. Weird Al Yankovic. It was kind of a Weird Al situation on Sunday as we all watched the Royals this weekend. Hopefully, first season's over. We'll get into some more longevity.
Did you say
talks.
The first season's over?
First weekend series is over.
It's Freudian slip. Season's over. Yeah.
Season's first, over.
First series is over.
I'm in the text line.
No, they're just fine.
But, how was the text line this morning from Vern last night? Pretty good?
Yeah, I didn't really see a whole lot of hate.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, good.
The Royals did nothing to improve over last season. The Singer India trade was basically robbing Peter to play.
What?
Robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And they're expecting everyone else either to repeat or improve over 2024, and that's not realistic.
Well, that is a legit concern, I think. I mean, I think that's what we said that going into the winter. It's like, you got to make changes. You can't just try to run it back and expect everybody to have career years, right? Mm. I mean, that's hard to do one time, let alone repeat that and make sure everybody has a career year. Yeah, it just doesn't happen that way.
That person texted that text in at least three or four times.
Oh, wow.
I've noticed.
Okay.
Not worried about the Royals at all. Still need a bat coming from the outfield. Any option on the Yankee or any opinion on the new Yankees bat? Oh, we'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah.
And then a bunch of questions for Vern that I'm sure he addressed for the show.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says Weird Al's going to be at Starlight at the end of June.
No kidding.
Yeah. So in case you were under a rock, you missed it, but Jonathan India was hit with a fastball to the face, left side of the face. We can discuss it. This was Vinny Pasquantino in the game afterwards. I love everything that I hear.
My view of it was watching him get hit in the face. And I'm still kind of collecting my thoughts on it. But he threw a pitch that he doesn't ever throw, the pitch before, which was a four-seam fastball. It was his first one of the year. And then the next pitch, trying to come back up and in with the next pitch, and you got to get it. You're trying to let a pitch ride, and it didn't, and it hit him right in the face after almost hitting him in the face the pitch before. So obviously I'm upset by it. I'm more upset for John because, I mean, we don't know what's going on with him right now. So it sucks, and I don't think there's any – do I think there was intent behind it? Absolutely not. He's trying to go close the ball game, finish the ball game. It did happen, and that sucks a lot. And it felt like there was a lot of, and again, scouting reports, different ways of pitching you got to own the inside part of the plate. It felt like we were moving quite a lot this weekend. Again, I don't think there were, I know there wasn't any intent behind it, but felt like there was no adjustment made there, and that's frustrating. But again, they beat us. Hats off to them. Just a suck, you know, it's a sucky situation.
So that's Vinny Pasquantino talking to the media after the game, and obviously the number one question addressed was Jonathan Ennia getting hit in the face. Vinny Pasquantino not a fan of it. I think this is a situation where I think when we talk about it today via text line, via whoever's listening and having the conversation in their car with themselves as well and enjoying the show here at 96.5 The Fan, I don't know if it is 50-50 when it comes to the thought process of what had happened. I can take away what he said little by little because I've watched that now, I think, 4 or 5 times. And I think we're all kind of like Vinny Pasquantino at the moment where you're trying to collect what had happened because obviously it's a scary situation, whether it's accidental or whether it is, you know, somewhat merited by the pitcher. I hear Vinny Pasquantino say, I'm still addressing the fact that the ball hit him in the effing face. Very rarely do you get an F-bomb in media. And normally it's either like, you know, Travis Kelce says that guy shouldn't be able to even work at effing Foot Locker.
Right.
And it's kind of like a humorous but like pissed off way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody has a problem with another team. I do think it's interesting that he mentions he threw a pitch that he doesn't ever throw and that he hadn't thrown all series. So we can break that part down first. It's no secret on opening day the Royals got to Class A early and often.
Yeah, he coming off where he was in the postseason too.
And, you know, yeah, maybe he was realizing that the cutter wasn't getting anybody out, but he already had 2 outs in the inning. Right. Biggio flew out mm-hmm. and whoever else before Biggio got out as well. And then India's up and up and in. Whoa. Everybody's kind of like, that's scary. No matter who you are, no matter what the team is, even if the Royals were to throw a pitch like that, if like Zerpa were to throw that, it'd go up and in and be like, OK, whoa. All right. Let's maybe like, you know, let's settle down. Comes back and actually does clip him in the face. Then you hear Vinny talk about how, you know, they were moving up around the inside of the plate. And the pitchers are always, that's the way your father taught you about baseball, right? Like, the great ones did it. They own the inside of the plate. Roger Clemens was notoriously known for that. Like, he was going to buzz you inside if you were over his plate because that's his advantage, mm-hmm. is trying to get that inside-outside corner. And the pitcher and the batter have that sort of chess battle of like, well, I'm not giving you this, but there is somewhere you can get me, but I'm not going to give you what the obvious is. He hit him in the face. And if you are trying to back someone off the inside of the plate, buzz it behind them. Put it in their left pocket. You know, let them know you're there. But back-to-back to me kind of sticks out as like, I don't think, and I'm with Vinny as he also says, I don't think he meant to hit him in the face. I don't think any pitcher's ever tried to actually hit someone in the face because, one, I don't think they can actually do it if they tried. But again,
see, that's the thing. Like, you know how hard that is
right.
to do.
But the fact that the first one was right on his chin hair and the second one hit him in the ear hole, I think it's okay, let's cool down. I think it's dirty because, again, you threw the one pitch you never throw that you hadn't thrown twice. And it seems that maybe, because I think players see what other players see as well, I think they were upset that the Royals were hugging the inside of the plate. Now, I do think that the umpire should have issued some sort of warning or maybe thrown someone. I think if you hit a batter in the head, it's an automatic ejection. I think that should be a rule in baseball. Whether it's accidental, whether it's on purpose, you eject that player 100%. Whether that was a pitcher for the Royals that hit someone in the head, I'm sorry, but you're ejected. It's like targeting one in college football. But if you hit him in the back pocket, nothing happens. Like, they didn't know at the time if he was concussed. Obviously, Andy Rogers came out and explained what the situation was. But it's frustrating because that could have been a lot worse than it actually was. Andy was able to get up on his own and walk off. You saw Q kind of like almost sprint out and get him once he was hit. And then he kind of gives that look back. But I also go into the fact that like where there's smoke, there's fire. Class A has not been good in his last outings. Like, he's not been the untouchable guy in the playoffs. He wasn't that way in opening day. He comes out there in this game. Obviously, he didn't pitch in game 2 because they lost. But then the second time he comes out, maybe there's frustration. And Jonathan India was a guy where he's like, this guy was, you know, kind of, he's kind of on top of the plate. Because he gets the first 2 guys out, no problem. Cutter, cutter, out, out.
Mm-hmm.
98, 99, up in his face, hits him in the helmet. So, again, there's a lot there to dive down outside of just the hit. I think if you've wanted your evil bad guy in the division to kind of step up and show you who they were, Cleveland took no time. Not only did they take two out of three from the series, not only did they use their best pitcher and hit one of your new acquired players in the head, it happens in a time where you can't retaliate. You cannot have an option to come back and stick up for your guys, so this stews. Now, I do think the Royals are a mature team, and I think they will actually just kind of like move business on as they're in Milwaukee today. Game coverage starts at 12 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan with Vern's On Deck show. But look, dive into all of this. Vinny coming out and saying, talking the way he did, you know, guy gets hit in the effing face, so I'm thinking about, did he do it on purpose? No, I don't think he did it on purpose. I'm with Vinny on that. I don't think he did it on purpose. But, like, why? Like, why are you trying to throw that fastball with two outs in the game?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. Here's what Denny had to say. I always like to listen to Denny when something like this happens. He's seen every game the Royals have ever played. He's been around baseball for a while. He usually has a pretty good perspective.
And he's normally just, I guess the best word would be nasty for right-handed hitters. Oh, and he hit him in the helmet. Jonathan India hit in the, you could hear the thump. He's holding his mouth, his jaw. Boy, I hope that wasn't his jaw that we heard.
So that's how it originally happened. That was Denny. Oh, my God, he got hit in the face. He got hit in the jaw. I hope he's okay, right? And Denny will go into it a little bit later on. I don't think, first of all, I'm going to say that I don't think. I shouldn't say I know because nobody knows anything, but I don't think he did it on purpose. Let's get that out. I don't think anybody thinks that Clase did that on purpose. Now, what was Clase doing at that point in time? Why would he be trying a new pitch at that point in time? Well, you had two outs, nobody on. You had a 6-2 lead in this ball game. You were getting down to the nitty-gritty. You hadn't had success for the most part, you know, since last October at some point in time before the playoffs started. It was an opportunity to try something new. You didn't try it probably on the first game of the season, and maybe this was a pitch you were working on this spring because you had that rough exit in the postseason. So you come back the next spring. I was watching the beginning of the, I think it was the Royals game yesterday. They were talking about what third pitch this guy's going to develop or what third pitch that guy's going to develop every single year. You have a bad ending to the season. You need to reinvent yourself. So you're probably going to say, all right, I need to find a new pitch. You hear pitchers doing it all the time. Seth Lugo, or whoever it is, has 18 different pitches or something that he throws. So I'm sure it was something that Clase decided he was going to try to do this offseason. Learn a new pitch, give the hitter something different. He was figured out clearly in the postseason. So he needed to come up with something new. You get into a tight game on opening day, you're probably not going to throw something you're not comfortable with. You got a 6-2 lead with two outs. You're probably going to say, all right, let me try this pitch and see what I can do in this game situation. It got away from him, okay? Obviously, he needs to go back to the drawing board and work on that pitch a little bit more. But throwing up an inside, to me, is always, you know, Tony La Russa used to talk about this all the time. It's deadly. And I sent you guys an article about a player named Tony Conigliaro from years ago with the Boston Red Sox. And I remember as a kid collecting baseball cards, my dad's like, get this Tony Conigliaro card because he got hit one time in the face by a pitch and never was able to really recover and pretty much lost his career because of that. Hopefully, that doesn't happen, obviously, to Jonathan India. I don't know that it will. He had that protective guard there. Hopefully he's okay and whatnot. I just don't see intent with it with Class A. I see a guy who was trying to do something and it didn't work out. And now he better go back to the drawing board and not throw that pitch up and in again, because that is dangerous. Whether you do it on purpose or not, it is dangerous. But I don't think he did do it on purpose. And so he needs to go back and work on that pitch before he throws it in a game again.
I just think that it's just too much of a coincidence that the first time he throws it, it's right there. And the second time he throws it, it's right on target. And the fact that you're working on a new pitch with two outs in the ninth, where the pitch that you have perfected, maybe the best since Mariano Rivera had it perfected, because now you can throw it with absolute gas on it. You had two outs in the ninth.
Yeah, which is why you do work on it in that situation. It's a low stress, not a lot can happen type of situation. You get the opportunity in a game to work on a couple of things. You don't get that opportunity. A lot of times these closers come in, it's a 3-1, 3-2 type of ball game. The games are close. You don't get that opportunity in those live game actions with the bullets flying, as they like to say. You had that opportunity yesterday. He tried it. Clearly failed at that pitch, and hopefully for this guy's sake, he knows I better figure this thing out before I go back out there in a game again and try to throw that pitch.
Yeah, I would believe that if he did that with the first batter, when you're facing guys like Kevin Biggio and not guys like Jonathan India, who had what, two hits on Saturday, and you know is notoriously known for an on base high on base percentage. Like, you should throw your best against somebody who's good. You can work on stuff against somebody who's not as good. right? Like, I don't think that that's the, I think that's a lame duck excuse to say I was working on something. No, you were clearly pissed that this guy was getting to your pitching because he was the guy that set the tone. He's all over the plate. Don't go for his face. Go for his left pocket. I'm fine with that. Like, if you're working on a pitch, you would work on that pitch with, like, MJ Melendez because you could throw him anything and he wouldn't touch it. You could throw that pitch to Hunter Renfroe because you don't have to worry about him. Oh, well, what if he did miss that ball down the middle of the plate and India takes it deep to left? Are you still working on a pitch? Oh, no, you're going to work on that pitch with somebody who you can advantageously say that, or advantageously, that you have a huge advantage of, like a Kevin Biggio, like somebody lower in the order. You tried this with a leadoff hitter with two outs in a game that was 6-2, where even if this guy does get a hit off of your best pitch, the best thing the second best place baseball player in baseball can do is make it a 2-run game and make it 6-4.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, like, I find that a lame duck excuse to say maybe he was working on a pitch. He's been throwing fastballs since he was going to hold a baseball. He knows how to throw a fastball. He just doesn't know how to control it. That's something you do in a bullpen session. That's something you do before a game. And then it's like, okay, do you have the confidence to throw it? All right, let's go straight out of the chute and let's throw that four-seam fastball the first guy that comes up to bat. He didn't do it. He threw it at Jonathan India twice, knew after the first time, ooh, that ain't there. I'm going to throw it again, and you actually hit him. So a little bit of dirty for me, a little bit of accident, but I tend to lean more towards I don't like the situation that he put everybody in this game, because now you've created a massive divide between these two teams and everybody is going to be on the edge of their seat the next time these two teams play, because what are the Royals going to do? Because, again, you can say that he didn't do it on purpose, but you cannot let your guys get hit in the head. I'm not saying go headhunting. I'm saying now what you do is stand your ground, let them know that you're here, and then you're not afraid of these big, bad Cleveland Guardians because you're the team of the future in the Central. You want to be that team. Go show them and don't get kicked around. Again, don't go headhunting, but let them know that you don't think that it was accidentally done 100%.
Yeah, but all you have to do is go out there and beat them on the field, and that sure takes care of everything. And so, you know, you got, what, 10 games left against these guys. Go beat their ass in Cleveland when you go up there in a couple of weeks, and then let them know who's there by going out there and playing and winning. And look, I do think at that point in time, it is the perfect time to try that pitch because you already got two outs in the inning. And we don't know, like, these guys, man, with the way that things are going now in sports, there's a lot of mental stuff that goes on. We don't know where that guy Clase is mentally from what happened in the postseason last year. I mean, they rolled his stats at the beginning of the inning when he came in 0.61 ERA in the regular season last year, goes out there in the playoffs and just gets absolutely kicked in. I don't know where that guy's mental state is right now. Sometimes you need to see it in real life in order to gain back your confidence. And I think yesterday he's like, all right, I got to gain back this confidence. I haven't had any since October of last year. Opening day was not great. He goes out there, gets the first two guys out. He's probably breathing a lot easier at that point in time as well, too. All right, I've been working on this new pitch. Let me try. Oh my God, it got away. All right, let me try it one more time. Oh my God, I hit the guy in the face. I've got to go work on that pitch. I just think in baseball right now, if you are headhunting, you said get them kicked out of the game. I think you get banned for a year if you're headhunting on purpose. Like, if they can prove that you're doing that. Now, how they go about doing that, I don't know. But I just don't think anybody's out there trying to hurt and injure players on another team. At the end of the day, these guys are all in the fraternity together. They're all trying to make money. They're all trying to do their thing. I don't think anybody was headhunting on purpose. I don't think we have those guys necessarily in the league anymore, like maybe we had back in the 70s and 80s. I just don't think that's happening. And if it is happening, then that guy needs to be moved out of the league. And so how we figure that out, how do we determine? We never will. I'm willing to give him a free opportunity right now. But if this continues, now we've got ourselves a pattern, and now it's cause for a brawl to break out.
Yeah, I just think that the whole confidence thing is disregarded, because I can use a golf analogy. If you're shooting a really good round, you don't wait until like the 17th hole to be like, all right, now I'm going to pull the driver out. I'm, you know, two under on the round. I got confidence. I'm going to see if I can hit my driver. No, you're going to continue to go with what's working, because that's what builds confidence, is getting your normal reps back into it to where you're like, you know what? Yeah, I am a badass with my cutter. I can just throw that and I'm fine. I don't need two pitches. I'm that damn good. I finished third in Cy Young Awards last year as a closer.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick with what's been getting me here. I'm not going to pull out a four iron and see if I can hit a low stinger when I'm shooting one of the better rounds of my life. You just got two outs. Don't pull the driver out. Leave it in the bag. Continue the round that you're going with. He didn't do that. He tried to get confidence after he'd already kind of built his confidence going in there and going 1-2. And then guess what he threw to Bobby every pitch? A cutter. And guess what Bobby Witt Jr. did? He struck out. All right.
Three for 13 to start the season for Bobby Witt. Yikes. Is that part of our overreaction segment?
I don't know. We can get into it here real quick, because I'm okay with Bobby Witt Jr. But my overreaction I'll start with is the people reacting to the Final Four that they're upset. It's an overreaction. It's only the second time all four number one teams have been there. I think Saturday will be electric. It kind of starts the next
reacting
wave.
In a bad way, you mean?
Yeah, they're just like, oh, it's all chalk, all these teams. College basketball's ruined. A lot of KU fans out there sour about it.
Oh, are there? Yeah. Are there really? Okay.
Because now everybody's got Adidas money.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I mean, that's just the way the sport goes. Adapt and move on and adjust or get left behind. It's
and
not
again,
that hard.
You can say the entire tournament was boring because no good games. Now there is no excuses. We ought to have four good games because you're the four best teams with the four highest rankings. I think Saturday should be fun. Like I said, it segues us into the next fun week of spring sports. We get the Final Four on Saturday. You get baseball again on Sunday. And then Monday, it's the start of Masters week. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of keeps rolling along. So overreaction, like maybe enjoy this because there's only been two times in the history of this tournament where all number one seeds have made it. 08 and now, and even that's a long gap between time.
Long, right? It's almost 20 freaking years.
Right. So like here, 18 years or 17
years.
And now we're here we are again, all four number one seeds. We should be in for a good Saturday night. Just don't overreact to it. Maybe just enjoy it. Nobody has a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
So why not see the top four dogs go fight?
Just enjoy. Sometimes it's okay just to sit back and watch a game and just enjoy it for what it is. I mean, there doesn't have to be this constant, whatever thought process that goes through when you're watching a game. Sometimes it's okay just to sit back and enjoy the game and say, okay, cool. I'm going to go. People complaining about all four number ones. This is what we've wanted all the time. The four best teams to play for your championship. And we get the opportunity to do that. I'm going to take an overreaction and I'm going to go and overreact on the starting staff. I saw Annie Rogers put in her column this weekend after the series, not one Royal starter had a quality start this weekend. And that was a little concerning for me when they made their bones on quality starts last year. And that was able to protect that bullpen, as Annie talked about as well. You know, the bullpen was put into some extra situations probably this weekend. You'd like to have your starting staff pitch better. And that's going back to that text on the text line. We're relying on everybody to have a career year after a career year. And the first opportunity we got to do that, the starters this year, all three of them, none of them made a quality start. That's got to be better. That's got to be the bread and butter for the Royals this year. Those starters have to go out there and perform well and give this team an opportunity to win. Because as we know from an offensive standpoint, they're kind of, as of right now, a little bit offensively challenging. Still looking for that next bat. But as of right now, those starters have got to go out there and perform better and keep you in the game. And they're not going to duplicate what they did last season, but you got to get at least a quality start out of the deal.
I know where that next bat is. It's in Arkansas.
Yeah, buddy.
Does somebody have the turbo bats down there?
Yeah. I wish. Torpedoes.
Torpedo bats, yes.
Torpedo
bats.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
You got an overreaction, Mac?
I've got Royals fans overreactions. We'll get to them throughout the show.
Okay. Yep. I like that.
Yep.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.